Kingdom greetings to each one of you online and to our visitors. Welcome to God's house. We are delighted that you are here today, and we hope that you can stay for fellowship with us, all right? So Revelation chapter, I tell you, I sent an email out this week. The children, yes. Thank you, Melissa. All right, you kids, guys, go ahead. Follow your leaders. Thanks to Melissa. Oh, now Kelly's still not here, right? Yeah, let's say a prayer for Kelly. Father, we pray for Kelly. We ask that you would touch her. I'm sure she's probably watching online with Mary. Lord, I ask that you would bless him. Teach her. Comfort her. But yeah, let your divine healing encounter her today. Amen. So in my email this week, I said it would take me it would take me a lifetime to teach on the book of Revelation. You know? So I am going to really just take my time. And I pray that you are reading it. And this week, actually, I'm going to ask you to, I think you're supposed to be in chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6. And if you haven't started yet, I encourage you, go back and start reading Revelation chapter 1 to 6. But this week, I want us to read Ephesians. You can still read Revelation. You can still go through the first 6 chapters. But I want you to read Ephesians. The reason why, it's because it's chapter 2, 3, and 4 talks about, 2 and 3 talks about the 7 churches. And one of the church this morning I'm going to put emphasis on is the church in Ephesus. So last week I stopped at Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. That's where I stopped. The more I'm reading Revelation, I'm like, I can't leave this behind. This is so good, you know? So I thought I was going to jump to chapter 2 and chapter 3 today, just pick, you know, verse by verse. But today I want to focus on chapter 1, verse 9 to verse 19, and chapter 2, verse 1 till 2-7. So I figured I'm not going to have time to read like I did last week, because then I end up talking for an hour and a half. I don't want that. So, if you are reading Revelation with me during the week, you know exactly what I'm going to talk about. Okay? But if you're not reading it, I'm going to come here, you're going to be like, what? What is he talking about? So I encourage you, in your devotion, in your time spending with Jesus, whatever else you've been reading, please go to Revelation. And I did send you guys this last week, all right? Did you remember? Did that make sense? You understand this now. And as you read Revelation, keep this perspective. You know, especially, let's see, right now we are in the church age. We don't know when Jesus will return. We don't know that. But we know, like it says in chapter 1, when these things will happen, they will happen so fast. You know, for over 2,000 years, people have been saying, well, I thought Jesus said the time is near. Well, I tell you, the Greek word that translated time is near, these things will take place before the return of Christ, means when those things are happening, they're going to happen so fast. You know, it's like there's no more time. There is no more time. So, Revelation chapter 1, verse, if you open your Bibles, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. You know, it says, I, John, am a brother and a partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in patient endurance, to which Jesus calls us. I was exiled to the island of Patmos to preach the word of God and because I was preaching the word of God and because of my testimony. And last Sunday, I stopped asking you, what is your testimony? Do you have a story to tell? Don't be ashamed of your story. Don't be ashamed where you came from. You know, can you imagine in John chapter 4, the woman came, went to the town. She said, guys, come. I met someone that just set me free. You know, that's why we continue to pray that each of us will encounter Jesus. You know, in verse 9, right here, something I really, that caught my attention this week in my study. The Christian church at that time was facing severe persecution. And I sent you an email this week. I don't know, hopefully you read it. On January 19, 2022, the Open Door of International NGO had a study. They made a study to figure out, you know, what's going on in the world. According to the World Watch list, 50 countries where Christians face most severe type of persecution. Did you know about 360 million Christians are on high level of persecution? Now, did you also know 70%, I've learned that this week actually, 70% of churches in America are liberal. When we say liberal, we're talking about crazy stuff. I mean, the word is liberating. The word of God is liberating. The word of God, when you are doing the gospel according to God's word, you accept everybody where they're at. You don't judge people. God calls us, I talked about that last week, God calls us to judge each other, but not condemn each other. The word judge doesn't mean, oh man, you're so bad, therefore you condemn. No. The word of God, the word judge right here is more like keeping each other accountable. You know, so if you call yourself a believer, a follower of Jesus, those are the way you should be. You know? All right. I mean, you don't go and pick apples from a peach tree, do you? We don't do that. It's the same thing. You will recognize the tree by what? By the fruit. So how do you know a peach tree? Come on, talk to me, guys. Yeah. How do you know a Christian? How do you know someone follows Jesus? That's a very basic question. How do they show it? Come on now, somebody. They treat people well. Did you read my note? Angie, stop it. Now, John, he was exiled because he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't let society or Rome stop him. They couldn't kill him. He was 90. You think you're so old? Oh man, I pray this over my life. I said, Jesus, please give me back bones. Give me the courage so I do not back down. I will not back down. I will not back down. I pray the same thing over our church. I pray the same thing over you, that you will not back down. I was in exile. Why? Because of the word of my testimony. Now you need to understand, not all Christians faces persecution for their faith, as the early Christians did. And sometimes, I know, social media, they censor us. You know, maybe some of your friends, you don't want to let them know where you stand on certain issues. So my question for you, and that was in my email, if we hesitate to share our faith during easy times, how will we do during times of persecution? If. I don't know if you thought about that when I sent it to you. You know? If you're afraid to make a stand against abortion just because, you know, you don't want your friends to hate you. And you think, well, I don't want people to criticize me. What would happen when they're really going after you? Now that question, I'm asking myself and I'm getting myself ready. Now I understand this question has nothing to do with judgment. You bad? No. Oh no. This is your brother talking to you in love, your pastor asking the question, knowing what's going on, reading Revelation, keeping a kingdom perspective on our time. And I'm like, Jesus, help us. What had happened in the probably in the past 5 decades? The church has lost its stand because we allow things happen in our society. I mean, how many people thought me going in politics was the wrong thing for Christians for a long time? I've heard it in Haiti. I was talking to a guy last week. I said, you know, sometimes we blame the devil. You know, I could picture Satan sometimes like, well, I didn't do it. Why are you blaming me? Poor devil sometimes. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be the advocate for Satan a little bit. Poor Satan. You know, it's like, dude, it's your choice. You know, the Bible says when godly people rise in authority, the people will rejoice. But when evil people are in authority, of course, what do you think? What do you expect they're going to do? They're going to suppress the truth. They're going to chuck the word of God. What did we do back in the 60s, early, late 60s, 70s, when they start taking God out of our lives? What did the church, I know the church, they stood, they did. I'm not saying they didn't do enough. But we've become so complacent, that's the word. We've become so, so lamb, you know, like, what's the word? What the word, you know, we talk about Jesus being the lion and the lamb, but we forgot about the lion part. Here, let's go here. Chapter 1. Let's read it. It was on the Lord's day, verse 10. Suddenly, I heard behind me a loud voice of trumpet. It says, write everything you see and send it to the 7 churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, and you know the list goes on. Verse 12. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw 7 gold lampstands. Those 7 gold lampstands stand for the churches. Okay? Verse 13. And standing in the middle of the lampstand, in the churches, it was someone like the Son of Man. You remember, if you read Matthew, and even if you go to Daniel chapter 7, it talks about Jesus being the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe, and I want you to picture it in your mind. I know some of us are very artistic and we can picture things. And I want you to picture that in your mind. A long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. I don't know, seriously. We do not know what Jesus looks like. You know, I know there's a lot of pictures, a lot of great actors that portray Jesus, play great movies, but those guys are not Jesus. Sometimes we dream and we see those people, we think we see Jesus. Now, can you imagine what have been your perspective about Christ, the Lamb of God? Even certain stuff in your life, you treated them as a lamb. It's about time for us to start acting like a lion. Start acting, behaving like this. His eyes, I like this. were like flames. Verse 15, his feet were like polished bronze we find in a furnace, and his voice, thunder! You know, we always like to perceive Jesus as the still, small voice, gentle. You know, everybody wants Jesus to be, oh yes, no, my son, my daughters. Nobody wants rebuke. Nobody, I mean, I was like, man, we usually don't talk about that stuff. I know some people are afraid there are some very charismatic preachers that would come here and just start yelling at you, talking about the Bible. Jesus is God. You better believe it. That's great energy. It's actually good. It feels good. It will wake you up. If you're sleeping, sitting here sleeping, you can't sleep. Why? Because I'm going to keep you on your toe. Can I have a witness? You know I'm serious, right? But you can laugh. I tell you. And I pray, I said, Lord, I pray that the book of Revelation would change your perspective on Jesus. And you need to understand that our world, our society here in America needs to encounter and will. Right now, there's no judgment. I've told you this already. God's not judging anybody. But you know what? God is looking for a group of people that would go in the temple and clear out the temple! Clean the house! Clean it! Just go home, get in the garage, get a holy anger, be like, I gotta get rid of those junk. I can't even walk around. I can't move around. I gotta, guess what, honey? We are cleaning this house. And until you have that holy anger, nothing will change. You always live on a bunch of trash. Your house will be always filthy. It's the same thing for the house of God. I pray, I say, Jesus, you keep me on fire. I don't care. God didn't call me to please you. That's why I said it. I'm so glad I'm called. God called me to lead and to make sure you're on the right path. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Even sometimes I feel intimidating. I'm afraid. I'm scared. It's like the more I'm reading the book of Revelation, I'm like, Jesus, okay. All right, let's do this. I don't want to ride on somebody else's passion. I want to have my own flame. I want to have my own flame. What I had 2 years ago is not going to do it for me now. It's not going to do it for me. You know, revival comes from paying the price. And what price are you willing to pay to experience revival in your life? What price are we willing to pay as a collective congregation to experience revival? What price am I willing to pay to experience revival on a daily basis? When I wake up in the morning, the worries of life, the troubles of life, the news do this to me, you know? It's like sometimes you feel like life is just cornering you. Children, you know, teenagers, whatever, husband, wife, work, co-workers, all those people in our lives. They corner us and you feel like they're going to knock you down. Parents, we should add that too. Because it's not necessarily the children that brings us sorrow, but sometimes we discourage the children too. If we hesitate to share our faith during easy times, how will we do it during times of persecution? What is your perspective on Jesus? You know, have you ever asked yourself why people are so hostile towards Christian faith? So if you are one of those who love Jesus, I'm talking about I love Jesus, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm a believer. I love my country. Last Sunday, I was so proud to celebrate 4th of July. I love it. I think that's a beautiful day. Why? We celebrate. I think people should go back, you know, on 1976. Of course, we're not talking about the slavery was evil. 1776. What did I say? 1976? Yeah. Yeah, 1776. All right. Yeah, just checking. You got your story straight. You know, but also I was grieved. You know why I was grieved? Because my birth country is in such turmoil. The people are not free. 1804, they broke the chain from their hands. They broke the chains from their feet. But true freedom comes from up here. When you're free from your mind, you're really free. Nobody can put me down. Nobody. Nobody can put you down. The battlefield of the mind. Oh man, we watch a movie, I've never seen it. It's The Avengers. I think it should be like one of the famous movies now for teenagers or something. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's The Avengers, the first or the third, something like that. The second. But there's a battle between one of them. There's a battle between evil and good. And then the chief demon, chief bad guy, said something. The best way for us to win the battle is to turn them against each other. So therefore, they had this witch lady that would go to each of them and cast a spell over each of them so they could start seeing each other the wrong way. And guys, it happened. And then they start turning on each other. And we're watching that movie, we're like, wow, what a spiritual reality. The battlefield of the mind. Right here. He's fine. The battlefield of the mind. If Satan, the enemy, can win it up here, he gets you. That's why depression starts right here. When you're depressed in your mind, when you think, I'm not loved, I'm not worth it, this life is not good, you know, if I'm gone, nobody will miss me. This is it. This is a very, very dangerous place for people to be. We need to make a stand. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. You know, and in verse 13, from verse 13 to verse 16, it says the seven gold lampstand, I told you this, it represent the seven churches. And Jesus stood among them. Jesus stand in our midst. Jesus will always protect us. Now, will we allow him to protect us? Oh, I want Jesus. I want Jesus' protection. I want him to protect me. The book of Revelation should give us the right perspective about Christ. That's why I challenge you to read it. Don't read it fast. Read, you know, go back to chapter 1. I mean, I'm like, I cannot pass chapter 1 and 2. I probably read till chapter 19, I think. But I keep going back verse by verse and I sit, I read, I'm like, okay. Verse 16, he held seven stars and it was in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. I hope none of us tried that, but have you ever tried to look at the sun? You better not do that. Your polarized sunglasses might help you. But it's about time for us, the church, to have a different perspective on Christ. Christ is not just this beautiful lamb that we see. Yes, he is the lamb for us. The ultimate lamb that paid the, that was slaughtered so we could have access to Father. But he's also the lion. In many decades, what have formed our perspective of Christ? You know, it's about time for us to stop believing those pictures. You guys are smart enough. You know they're not Jesus. I see people have, you know, those things in their car, you know, pictures in their room, Jesus, you know, all that stuff. Mm-mm. Read the Bible so you know Jesus, who he is. None of us really knew what Jesus was. As a matter of fact, some studies shows, I mean, of course, there are debates. Studies shows that Jesus at that time, he would be more like a darker skin. You know, Israelite in the desert, tan. Okay, Jesus wasn't like this plain white dude. Okay, and if you read Isaiah, he said there was nothing, for some reason, there was nothing so attractive. When you saw Jesus, you couldn't be like, man, what an awesome dude, man, Jesus. You know, people trying to portray Jesus as this beautiful, handsome man. We don't know. We don't know. Read the Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the picture. The perfect picture of what Jesus is in your life. He's our deliverer. And didn't I send it to you? I did. The nine attribute characteristic of Jesus. He's the faithful witness. He's the first to rise from the dead. He's the ruler of the king of the world. Wow. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Almighty One. Go back to those things. And I told you, I said, what do you need Jesus to be for you right now? Do you need him to be your shepherd? Do you need him to be your light? Oh, I need Jesus to be my light, to light my path, so I know exactly which way to go. May God change our view on Christ. Isaiah 49 verse 2, I read, He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. And in his quiver, he has hidden me, meaning I'm safe in his word. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now you see here, I read these verses in contrast to this verse 16 where it says, in his right hand, there was a sword, two-edged sword, also coming out of his mouth. Two-edged sword. Every time you read this kind of word in the Bible, it's making reference on the word of God. That's why Satan doesn't want us to read the word. We need to read the word. You got to read the word. You need to read your Bible. Just like we have such relationship with our phone. Our phones are great, but they could be bad too. Have you ever left home without your phone? Some of us go crazy because we don't know how to get there because we don't have Google Map. I mean, it's a good thing. A couple weeks ago, I went to Sims Club. I was looking at stuff and I left my phone somewhere. Kendra called me and I was talking to her and then I put my phone somewhere. You know, when I looked around, I talked to everybody and I realized I lost that phone. You know what came in my mind? Man, that's $900. That was just like,
I can't believe I just lost $900. I don't have insurance on it.
It hurts. It's a good... I have good relationship with my phone. I use it. You know, my phone's allowing me to do this right now. How awesome. But thank God, there's still good people out there. Listen to me, guys. I kept calling, and a lady answers. And she said, her name was Kathy. She says, yeah, I find this phone. Somebody actually bought it to me, but I didn't return it to customer service because they, you know, they're so busy there. I said, yes, awesome. Thank God. And then Kendra went and got it for me. I want the same relationship with my Bible, with the Word of God. I can't go without it. I can't go without the Word. I gotta have it. Just like I gotta have my coffee. I don't know. I'm realizing, man, maybe I'm a little bit too... I'm in America too long already. Because now I realize I wake up in the morning and until I have a cup of coffee, I'm feeling a little weird. Then when I got a cup of coffee, not every day, especially Sunday morning. Sunday morning, all right, I'm like, okay, oh, I got a cup of coffee. I feel like, yeah, I feel a little awake. It's all good. I want to have that relationship. You guys hear me, right? I want to have that same relationship with the Word. If I go a couple days without it, it's just like going a couple days, or not a couple days, a couple hours without showering, taking a shower. If you wake up, some of us wake up in the morning by 11 o'clock, if you don't take a shower, your body's going to tell you, dude, what's going on, man? You forgot about me? You got to have a shower. Our spiritual bath. Our spiritual way to stay connected. Our spiritual map. Verse 13. That's what it says. Verse 16, actually. That's what it says. In his mouth, out of his mouth, came. Let's go back to it. He held 7 stars in the right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the vision and soul, the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when you read God's word, it does that to us. It discerns our thoughts. It discerns our minds. You know, John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, you, dear children, brothers and sisters, listen to me. It says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because of the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You see, in verse 1 to chapter 1, verse 9 till, you know, John's talking about, he talks about the church being persecuted. In our days, we know the church is also being persecuted. The more devoted you are to Christ, the less famous you will become. That's why you better be real. I'm going to tell you this again. The more devoted you are to Christ, the less famous you're going to be. People are going to call you names. That's why I believe, I wrote it here. You know, truth without love is hurt. If you're speaking the truth, but yet you don't love people, you're pretty much creating hurt. All of us might have different political views. Maybe some of us don't really like our president, but do we pray for him out of bitterness? Do you speak the truth to your friend from a place of hurt? I mean bitterness? Or love? How would you know? How would people know we are believers? John, in John, it says that. They will know we are believers by the way we love people. But how do we love people? Well, think about it. How does God love you? Unconditional. There's God put no condition on the table. He says, I love you the way you are. So even as our churches are being under persecution, you need to take courage. Why? Because Jesus is in our midst. That's what it says here. Jesus was right in the middle of the seven churches. He was right with them. He'll never leave you. The key is, you know, there are tons of stories about people who renounce their faith in Christ because they thought their life was going to end. What's 80 years on earth? What's 95 years on earth compared to your eternity? You know, and then I jump from chapter 1 to chapter 2. It says the message to the church in Ephesus. And I'm going to stop right here. Because that's a lot of information, right? Right? You see, I mean, because for me to go here, I'll be back. How about that? Chapter 1, please, read Revelation. You know, read Revelation chapter 2. But I want to read a couple verses. Just one verse before I close in chapter 2. The verse I want to read is 2 Peter. Open from your Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1. It's very close to Revelation. Ah, oh, thank you, Lord, for your word. The word of God cleansed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Sorry, 1 Peter. Now remember, your homework this week is Ephesians. Because actually that's going to set the tone for me for next time I get into chapter 2. 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Sorry, it's 2 Peter. Did I say 2 Peter? Yeah. I'm definitely done. You know when your sermon is done? This is it. All right. It's the word of the Lord. 2 Peter 1, 9. It's the one that talks about we are a chosen generation. Find it? It says, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. Verse 8. You rejoice with our glorious inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. That's crazy. I wrote the wrong verse. 1 Peter. I wrote the wrong verse. 1 Peter. That's good. I mean, you guys going back and forth in 1 and 2 Peter. That's good. 1 Peter 1. Now. 1 Peter 1, 8. 1, 9. All right, read it for me. It says, we are a chosen generation. No, that's the verse I'm looking for. Chosen generation, God's people. That's the one I mean, we get it eventually. We'll get it. Holy nation, chosen by God. Chapter 2, 9. All right, I wrote it wrong. I wrote 1 Peter 1 Peter 1, 9. All right. There it is. So you see, read it for me. But we are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show. Let's go back. This is it. This is my conclusion. Well, you're not like what? Verse 9 says, you're not like that. What is it talking about? Jump back to verse 7. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. So all of us here, we recognize that God has given Jesus honor. Right? Amen? But for those who rejected him, we didn't reject him. We believe in Christ and we accepted Christ. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone, the stone that holds the house. And he's the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble, why? Because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate. They meet the fate that was planned for them. Verse 9. Now verse 9 makes sense. It says, but you're not like that. You didn't reject Christ. You believe in him. You accept his word. Why? Right? Right? So therefore, he chose you for his own. Let this makes you glad today. God choose you. You know, I'm choose by God. I'm loved by him. So as Revelation unfolds, as we live in the last days, as the return of our Lord Jesus Christ is nearer, man, I'm safe and secure in his hand. He's in our church. You know? I mean, you read it, chapter 2, every letter to each church, he said, John, you write to the angel of the church, meaning you write to the pastor. You write to the pastor and you tell the pastor, this is what's going on. You are royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show. This is it. As a result, I don't have to preach. I can what? Show. The best way to represent Christ out there is to what? Oh, you better show. You better show them. And how do you show them? Sometimes you have to act like a lion. You have to act like a lion. You have to make a stand. You have to stand for what you believe. You have to speak the truth in love. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. The goodness of God. For he called you out of where? Out of darkness and put you where? Into his wonderful light. So therefore, we know we're not children of darkness. We're children of light. Why? So we can show the world. I can show my family what light is. And even if it comes to sometimes when they try to take your coat, what do you do? Jesus said, well, don't fight them. You know, as they're taking the coat, make sure you unbutton the shirt. Give it to them too. So I said, man, when you read the word, you realize, wow, Jesus, man, you're awesome. He really shows us how to live and experience peace that surpasses all understanding in this world. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for being so kind enough to give us the truth that would save us and prepare us for the end time. Thank you, Lord, for the book of Revelation. And Father, as your people here prepare to continue to read it, I pray that the blessing that goes along in reading the book of Revelation would fall over their lives, Lord. As they go through their homework this week, reading the book of Ephesians, Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to each one of them. Father, as we step in the next room to continue to fellowship with each other, Lord, I pray that your presence would continue to go with us and be with us. And even as we step out then, you know, do the activities you've called us to do. Lord, may your presence and your favor go before each one of us. In Jesus' name I pray.